And on Sunday, we had to do that because Georgia up yonder, that's where anything can happen and sometimes does. They had a blue law up there that corpse had to be buried within 24 hours and they wouldn't let you work on Sunday. So we sneaked over there and fired this sawmill up. We didn't blow the whistle and we shut down just as quick as we could. Well, we had a time getting rid of the dead people back in those days, and then that's one reason they come back sometimes to scare us as a ghost. Well, that's all over now, and it's all settled, and I'm glad the undertaker stepped in to take over a disagreeable job, because it was a lot of work to get rid of anybody back in those days, and I'm thankful to the Lord and everybody else around that used to work with me that I don't have to help put away anybody anymore, because I don't have any desire whatever to give anybody a bath when they can't say, I thank you.
Thank you, Thank you. Thank you. Bye. Yep. All right, stop raining. Y'all can go out and sit down now. You're wet. You don't care. Now, Ann and Frank Thomas from Lake Wales, and I want to show you as they come forward. That they write songs about Florida, and they put them on this record. Frank Thomas's Florida Stories, and they'd like to sell you one. And they have them on the back porch here. And don't let them go home with any. Frank and Ann Thomas.
Thank you. Last night we sang y'all a song about what happened at Old Lusty when Confederate troops ran the Yankees off. And then we sang you another song, which boys just like Gilbert here inspired in us. This is Gilbert Hancock. We're lucky to have him with us today. He's a fine banjo picker and a fine Florida historian, and his family goes back about as far as you can go back in the Green Swamp. And the song goes like this.
With the war nearly over and the Yankees closing in, Tallahassee still remained in Confederate hands. It really turned out to be a thorn in Lincoln's side. Said you best take Florida or I'll have some bodies hide. As the Yankees march down the road to victory, they say, you can hear that rebel yell, fair to Appalachia Bay. Just a handful of schoolboys and crippled old men, all it took to put the Yankees on the road.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Thanks a lot. I want to know, was anybody out there underneath that tree when the lightning struck it? I just noticed that. We'd like to do you a song here about a Seminole Indian. His name was Billy Bowlegs. He lived down in the Everglades back in the middle 1850s, 1855. And he was a peaceful fellow who minded his own business, but he made a mistake of having a grove of banana trees. And some surveyors come down through there and found his banana trees and his garden, and they destroyed it, and it kind of upset him just a little bit. And this song is about that, the Third Seminole War. Back in 1855, the state of Florida was young and bold, and living deep in the Everglades was a handful of Seminole. Billy Bowlegs was a peaceful chief who made his living off the land. He didn't like their ways and he wanted to stay far removed from the white man. Bill had a garden where he grew some corn, squash and pumpkins and beans, but his pride and joy since he was a boy was a grove of big banana trees. Then old Bill would fight for what he thought was right, and he got as mad as can be that fateful day that he was away and they chopped down his banana tree. Survey team went into the swamp with a bold and brilliant plan to dig some canals and build some roads and drain that fertile land. They happened on Billy Bowlegs' garden one day while he was gone. They picked all the fruit and they chopped down the trees and they left it bare as a bone. Well, Bill got just as mad as a snake when he saw what they had done. He said, "You'll pay," but they laughed it away and said we were just having fun. But old Bill would fight for what he thought was right, and he got as mad as can be that fateful day that he was away and they chopped down his banana tree. Bill tried hard to control his wrath, he used a lot of restraint, but in the end the war path would win, Bowlegs would wear war paint. Now this little tale I'm telling you is not just mere folklore. That tragic day put us on the way to the Third Seminole War. Cause Bill would fight for what he thought was right, and he got as mad as can be that fateful day that he was away and they chopped down his banana tree. That fateful day that he was away and they chopped down his banana tree. Thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Thanks a lot. We want to do another song here about the Seminoles. It's about the Second Seminole War from 1835 to 42. It's kind of a sad and a happy song together.
General Winfield Scott came to Florida brave and bold. His orders were from Washington, remove the Seminole. From 1835 clear on up till 42, as the Seminole were hunted down, their righteous anger grew. With the treaty at Payne's Landing and the massacre of Day, bribes and trickery, many promises were made to Mick and Opie, Osceola, Wildcat and Jumper too, Sam Jones and Alligator, just to name a few. With the capture of Osceola underneath the flag of truce, Sam Jones was fleeing southward to escape the noose. On Christmas Day of 37 near Okeechobee Lake, the Seminole and Miccosukee joined for one last stand to make. It was there in the fighting Zachary Taylor got the name. Oh, rough and ready, forever he remained. The
Army claimed the victory, though complete it wouldn't be. Here marked the disaster at Okeechobee. Without arms and nearly starved, and bloodhounds on their track, facing Colt's revolving rifle, the Everglades to their back. The Seminole would wander through this river of grass and elude their captor till the very last. For many years to come, the bloody fighting would go on, 'cause the Seminole would die before they'd leave their home. The government had vowed that we'll drive them from this land, but descendants of these Indians still walk the Florida sand. It's descendants of these Seminoles walk the Okeechobee sand. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
We'd like to give Gilbert a chance to show you a little bit of what he can do. Gilbert is one of the several good cracker musicians on our album, and he has an album of his own here, too. He's going to pick his song called Dear Old Dixie. And I think he means it.
Gilbert hails from the Green Swamp down at the head of the Withlacoochee. His family goes way back in Florida history. Gilbert is very much interested in Civil War history, or any Florida history as far as it goes. He is a banjo picker for the Bluegrass Little Bits, in case you're wondering. They have some albums here, as Ann just said. And also, I'd like to say that if anyone would like one of our albums, they should get it now, because we're going to be leaving, and we won't be here tomorrow. We're going to close our show with one here. My heart's buried in the sand. I've seen the Blue Ridge Mountain stand so high, the Shenandoah River with its valley so wide. I've seen all this beauty made by God's own hand, but Florida, I love you, and my heart is buried in the sand. The old Suwannee River flows down from the north, the great Atlantic coast with its beaches and resorts, and the mighty Everglades in the southern reaches of this land. Oh, Florida, I love you, and my heart is buried in this sand. The sea breezes are blowing all through the Keys, the orange trees are growing all across the ridge, and the battlefield at Old Lusty, where General Colquitt made his stand. Oh, Florida, I love you, and my heart is buried in the sand. are places in this world I'll never go, like the mountains of Tibet where the wind always blows. But I know I have seen a part of nature's beauty plain in the great state of Florida, and my heart is buried in this sand. Oh, Florida, I love you, and my heart is buried in this sand. Thank you very much. Bye.
All right, here's their record. I hope you'll come around back and buy them out. Florida Stories, Frank Thomas's Florida Stories. Let's give them another hand. As we welcome international folk dancing by the Folks Dance. Well, guess what? Gamble Rogers. You aren't drowned. You aren't drowned.
Can we do this one around on the other side?
Yeah.
Well, it's not raining now. That's just fine.
Well, it has been.
Oh. Yeah, that sounds fine. Well, it's just a little bit damp, and I want to get the strings right if I can. Ever seen was long horse John from Bowling Green. No hat on his head, no shoes on his feet, begging the ladies for bread and meat. Woman said, lost John, have a chair, I'm gonna send the porter for a bucket of beer. Never mind your porter, never mind your beer, cause the hound's on my trail and I can't stay here. I'm long gone, got to get along, but I'm long gone from Bowling Green. Seen was long lost John from Bowling Green. His mouth was yellow and his gums red grew. Great Lord Almighty, keep the feller in view. He's long gone, Lord, he's long gone. Yes, he's long gone from Bowling Green. Thank you. along, John, get along, boy. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Well, possum up in a cinnamon tree and a raccoon on the ground. Raccoon said, you son of a gun, shake them simmons down. Well, the possum began to shake, and then the simmons began to fall. Raccoon said, you son of a gun, I didn't want them all. Oh, little Liza, pretty little girl, my Liza Jane. How I love my pretty little girl, she died on the train. Liza Jane, she met me at the door with her shoes and stockings in her hand and little bare feet on the floor. Her head is like a coffee pot, her nose just like a spout. Her mouth is like an old fireplace with ashes all raked out. Oh, little Liza, pretty little girl, my Liza Jane. How I love my pretty little girl, but you can't get to heaven by riding on the train. Get to heaven, I'll tell you what to do. You gotta grease your feet in some mutton stew and slide out of the devil's hand and ooze over to the promised land. Take it easy, boy. Take it easy, but take it greasy. Let the rough end ride and the slick end slide. That's Habersham County laissez-faire. Took me a wife a year ago. I got a little boy now about four. Gets up the table, slaps his ma, rubs syrup in my ears, says, ain't you my pa? Runs string beans up my nose. Fat back, collards, chitlins, white acre peas, grits all over the willow way. Cute kid, but he's messy. That boy's so ugly, he has to ambush breakfast. That kid is so ugly, the day he was born, the doctor who delivered him held him up, got one good look at his face, and slapped his mama. That boy is so ugly, he don't know which end to put the powder on. Terribly sorry to admit to you folks here today that I learned this song off of a deputy sheriff from DeKalb County, Georgia. That idiot arrested me. He had every high performance accessory known to mankind on his county pursuit vehicle. He had Goodyear polyglass wide boots, series 60 tires, a foot and a half wide. With big white letters on the side of each tire, it said, Redneck! He had mag wheels, hooker headers, cherry bomb resonators, Delco airlift pleasurizers, spring shackles, chrome tailpipe extensions, a four-speed gear shift, a high-rise manifold, and a Le Mans racing stripe on his Massey Ferguson tractor. He got off that thing, swaggered up to me. He said, boy, don't you be talking spiteful and nasty and mean at me like none of them hippy-dip communist punks come through here every day from Macon. Driving them Volkswagen microbotic buses with all them sleeping bags and chemical commodes in the bed of them like some kind of mobile orgy. I was writing out a ticket to one of them long-haired fruits. He leaned out of the window. He said, baby, give me 5 cheeseburgers and a Coke. I pulled him out. Contraption chucked his tail through a Wake Up America billboard. Now, this was some kind of a heavy dude I was talking to. I'd say by the clothes he was wearing, he was a primitive man. He had on a breech clout made out of 2 Fruhoff mud flaps. Wearing a styrofoam pith helmet with an STP decal on the front. Tom McCann penny loafers with quarters stuck in the top. And he was well armed in the tradition of the North Georgia law. Over his bare chest, he had 2 45 caliber bandolier belts with the cartridge loops alternately stuffed with Havatampa jewels and Slim Jims. Wearing a shoulder holster made out of a PF sneaker with a toe cut out. Carrying an axe handle personally autographed by Lester Maddox. He said, boy, I ain't gonna give you no ticket. You're a homeboy. I'll let you off with a traffic warning citation. Now, in DeKalb County, Georgia, these warning citations are printed up in the form of bumper stickers. He went back to the tractor and he got me a citation, peeled that brown paper off the back and licked it one time. Slopped it over my car. I went back there and I read it. It said, eat more possum. If any of you good people are ever down there in DeKalb County, Georgia, be careful. Those old boys will flat tear you up. Hey, hey. Now, this is an old form of American folk music called the original talking blues. It was written by a man named Lund from West by God, Virginia. Hey. The object of this music is to keep a straight face while you rhyme all sorts of Arcadian inanities over 3 chords played on the guitar like this. Here are some verses that I made up about Cape Kennedy, Florida, where they sent up all the rockets and missiles in the NASA program. Used to be the best trout fishing and duck hunting in Florida. Now it's nothing but cyclone fences and CIA men. Blockhouse taking my ease. Thought I heard Alan Shepard sneeze. There's Walter Cronkite on a motorbike going to the Satellite Club for Lucky Strikes. Something mighty big about to happen out there on the beach. The Apollo rocket sticking straight up in the air. Alan Shepard strapped down in the control chair in the space module of that mighty rocket. They're down in the bunker now. They are about to commence the countdown. Old Chris Kraft steps up. He say 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ground zero, blast off. That rocket's going through the air. It's going through the clouds. They radio up to Alan Shepard. They say, Alan, baby, are you all right, son? Alan Shepard radios back and says, everything up here is A-okay and go, go, go. But I sure wish this big bird hadn't been put together by the lowest bidder. lipstick sponsors going insane. Zsa Zsa fell off the gantry crane. Autographed the nose cone. Revlon's best. Or Modern Cosmetics passed a new heat test. Friends is mighty important because we live in a consumer economy. That means basically the only way people like you and me can have a credit rating is we gotta go down to the bank and borrow some money. Fortunately, they can't charge more than 18% for it in this state. We're also in a missile race, and we have been ever since the Russians sent up the first Sputnik in 1957. What do you suppose might have happened if right after World War II, some of our scientists and politicians and economic advisors had gotten together and decided that all of those ICBM rockets had had consumer potential, consumer appeal? They'd have been advertised, merchandised, cost plus, cost minus, market index, market analyzed, distributed, black marketed, sold under the table. So by now, every American consumer would have a two-missile garage just keeping up with the Schwartzes. Be putting CB radios in the darn thing. Yeah, if we'd let the profit motive into the missile race back in 1957, we'd have Hojo Cole.